You are getting seated. Please open with me to the book of Proverbs. And if you're a mother who maybe came a minute or two late, make sure to grab some flowers before you leave. The book of Proverbs should be pretty close to the middle of your Bible. And we're going to get to the very, very last chapter of the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Book of Proverbs, chapter 31. We're going to read through verses 25 through 31 this morning. And the book of Proverbs is right after the book of Psalms, which is pretty lengthy, so it's a good way to catch where Proverbs is. Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 31. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Oh Lord, how all of us, not just women, not just mothers, need wisdom. All of us need wisdom, and all of us need to fear you. We ask together that you would use your word to teach us about who you are, what you've called us to do, not just mothers, but all of us. But in particular today, as we speak to mothers, may that be fruitful and helpful and encouraging for them. But as the rest of us listen in, may there be things that we learn, things that you teach us for the roles and the callings that you've given us, even if we're not a mother. Holy Spirit, that's only something you can do, so we ask that you drive your word deep into our hearts as you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said earlier, raising human beings is a difficult task. It is no small thing. Even if you are not a Christian, just raising a human being is very, very tough. But as a Christian, you know and understand these are humans that are going to live forever. Eternal creatures that have no end, and you are responsible for shaping and crafting them from their earliest days. Very, very tough job. Pew Research has polled mothers recently, and 33%, so one in every three mothers, says that their job is stressful basically all the time. They feel very, very stressed, not just here and there, but basically all the time for all of their life. They also said, interestingly, because motherhood is so difficult, the age that women become mothers is increasingly getting higher and higher. Say, for instance, in 2010, the average age a woman became a mother was age 25. That was a little bit later than even early 2000s, which was even later than the 90s. And now, in 2021, the average age a woman becomes a mother in America is 27. 2 year difference in only a decade is actually statistically a gigantic jump, because being a mother is difficult. Another statistic that's fascinating is women in the 70s, by the time they were 40 on average, had 3 children. But now in the 2020s, women in their 40s in America on average only have 2 children. More and more women are shucking becoming a mother. I was reading an article recently, an interview with a woman, and she said, "I don't see why society has so many norms and assumptions that I am a birthing machine. I am not here to bring human beings into the world. I am here to do my thing and to be me. So stop asking when I'm going to become a mother." Very, very interesting. More and more women are rejecting this amazing calling. More and more women are disgusted by it. They think it's strange. They're baffled. Why would I ever want to raise children? Why would I ever want to have a family? I want to do me. I want to have my career be the focus of my life. It's too difficult. Who wants to be so selfless and have so much potential for pain and brokenheartedness. Why would I ever get myself into that? It's hard for moms. When you're young, they cry a lot, don't they? They poop a lot. There's lots of diapers, lots of throw-up, lots of 2 a.m. screams and shrieks that wake you up and get you out of bed. Lots of whining, lots of demands, lots of mystery. Some of your kids are just such an enigma. They're like, what? How did you come from me? Who are you? It's very strange. And as they get older, right, they don't remember all that you did for them. They don't call, they don't write, they don't love you like they should, and it's hard. Sometimes they actually do ignore you. Sometimes they're not respectful, they don't honor you. It's very, very difficult from the very beginning, often throughout the years, being a mother. But there's hope. God loves and honors faithful mothers. God strengthens and gives wisdom to mothers. God is the one who enables you to do faithfully what he's called you to. And so we're very briefly going to look at this. Big idea is this. Mothers, fear the Lord. Two ways in particular. Mothers, fear the Lord in your worries and your words. We could have done a lot of different things in this text, but I wanted to just focus on two this year. Mothers, fear the Lord in your worries and in your words. Proverbs is an amazing book. A lot of people say there's not a lot on parenting in the Bible. There's really, you know, there's just a few things here and there. Well, the whole book of Proverbs is written as a book of a father instructing and teaching his son. That's pretty helpful as far as parenting goes. The whole book is a dad explaining life and wisdom and reality to his son who is getting older. And the first kind of section of the book, the first 9 chapters, are kind of lengthy fireside chats and reflections. Big topics. Do not go out with violent men. Though they're attractive and they seem cool and you like the kind of riskiness about them, do not walk in their ways. They are going to fall in their own pit. Beware of women like this. They will destroy your life. Things that take a little bit longer to think through with a son. The second kind of section is just tons and tons of truisms about how the world works, about what things are really like, good and evil, wise and foolish. You know, some of us talk about, I wish I could have just written down everything my father or my mother or this person had said. So many funny things, so many wise things that I've now forgotten. And the book of Proverbs is just that. The capture of the wisdom of the wisest man who had ever lived at that point, instructing his son about life. But we're going to see, as you read the book, there's two ladies who pop up over and over throughout the book. They both are representations of deeper things. There's Lady Folly, and there's Lady Wisdom. Over and over again, we see them both calling out, "All who are simple, come to me," competing for the attention of those in the world. Lady Folly becomes enfleshed in somebody called the foreign woman, or the adulteress, the foolish woman who looks so attractive, but is really going to deal you death and destroy your life. But Lady Wisdom, some would say, sort of becomes enfleshed herself at the very, very end of the book. Often people say the book of Proverbs ends on this woman who fears the Lord as the sort of crown of wisdom, of advice from the father to his son. You've heard me say this, you've heard me howl the truisms, but the final capstone of wisdom I want to give you this, son, find a woman and a wife who will be a mother who fears the Lord. And that's how the book is capped. It begins with the fear of the Lord, and it ends with the fear of the Lord, with this woman who is a wife and a mother that fears God. So two things. Be a mother who fears the Lord in your worries and with your words. Number one, worries. Many of you are huge Jane Austen fans. I've never read Jane Austen. One day, hopefully, possibly, we'll see. But I have seen the movie Pride and Prejudice, right? I don't remember which version it was. I know there's been like 15 probably by now. But I saw one of them. And there's a mother, many of you know, Mrs. Bennet. Mrs. Bennett, what a character, right? Controlled, consumed, constrained at every turn of the scene. Every scene she's in, she is deeply worried, driven by fear of the future. Mr. Bennett didn't have a lot of money, so what's the family going to do? Well, I have a great solution. Our five or however many daughters she has that are unmarried, which is also a huge problem, they can marry somebody wealthy, and that will help the whole family. But yes, we need to get them married because that's what's proper in society. And fear drives her every word, every move throughout every scene. She speaks unwisely. She speaks cruelly. She does things that are crazy, all because she is very worried and concerned for the future. At one point, she literally is so fearful that she threatens to shun her daughter if she does not marry a man she doesn't love. Many of you might recall this scene. She says, "If you don't marry this man, you will never see me again." Father's in the same room, and the father says, "And if you marry this man, you will never see me again." It's a really special scene in many ways. But fear constrained and drove her to become very, very unwise. And that's not the woman we see in this passage. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. A mother who fears the Lord is not driven by fear like Mrs. Bennett. She looks into the future, and she can laugh at the days ahead. Fears as a mother bombard you daily. Every one of them is a chance for fear or faith, walking in faithfulness or walking in faithlessness. You know, before you're a mother, if you're planning on having children and you finally become pregnant, you're often full of excitement, imagining carrying this wonderful baby in your arms, singing to them, feeding them, changing them, bathing them. It's a very romantic, I cannot wait to love this child. But then as the pregnancy increases and goes, you start to become concerned because you realize you're not going to always have this child in your arms. You start having things like body scans, and they say, well, if they find this in the thickness of the neck, or if we don't find this limb or this in the head, and you start to realize you are not in control. And then you have a hearing test when they're finally born, and then there's milestones to check in on. Every chance of their life becomes a moment of potential fear and threat. And as they get older, it's difficult. You are losing your baby every week of the year as they get older and older and need you less and less. They become more independent. And that means something very hard for mothers, is they're going to spend more time away from you where you're not there to help. You're not there to protect them. You're not there to watch over them. And that gets hard. You start to think about, well, what if they get in a car crash? Or what if there's a shooter that comes into the school and they don't have security to stop it? Or what if they get into drugs while I'm gone? What if they don't get a job that they want? What if they start being promiscuous? And what if they start walking away from the faith? Fears bombard you over and over and over again as a mother. And you imagine that worrying might help. You think somehow, because it's so natural and it feels so kind of bad but good at the same time, that worrying is actually going to help. I'm getting prepared. I'm anticipating the potential problem. I am focused on the issues that might be at hand. I am motivated to solve them when they come. But is that what worrying really does for you as a mother? It really doesn't. Fear and worry are robbing you every single day, robbing you of your joy, driving you to become a lot more like Mrs. Bennett than you might think or ever want to be, making you unwise, actually bringing harm. You know, we think if, as a mother, if I have control, if only I could make them, if only I could just be there to, but it's not really how it works, right? We think, I see the trajectory coming, and now I start to let the fear in, and now I start to feed it, and it just brings me to despair. You know, culture would say this. I did a little search on ChatGPT. I'm a mother who's very afraid. Give me 10 tips on how to handle it, type thing, right? And you can do this yourself. It's very interesting. You know, I had some normal stuff, like acknowledge the fact that you're fearful and try to look at those things truthfully. Okay, that's helpful. Most of the prescription is common sense, things that are natural and we'd all agree upon. You know, go get some exercise, get some more sleep, share your fears with a friend, talk through it with people who you care about, who care about you. A lot of people in society today would say, take Xanax. There's all sorts of things that people try to do to cope with their fears as a mother. But all of these have one problem. You're essentially facing the future for your children alone. It's just you as the sort of unsung hero, you as the consciously unable protector, trying to come to grips with the fact you cannot be there to save your child. You cannot, whether they're 45 or 4 and a half, you realize over and over, you cannot do it. But all of these are assuming it still depends on you. But a mother who fears the Lord realizes she is not the only protector. Thank God. She realizes she is not the only hero in the story. There is somebody far more powerful, far greater, who is watching over her children. And so that's why when she looks in the days to come, she can laugh. Because there's a great king who has all power watching over her kids. A woman who fears the Lord sees the future as a chance of blessing. She acknowledges that her kids are going to go through really hard times. Her kids are going to be broken, twisted sinners just like she is. Just like she was when she was that age. Just like her husband was potentially at that age. But these are opportunities and moments and a chance for the grace of God and the work of God to go through the trials and the difficulties, in addition to him providing blessings in those periods in the child's life. They are okay with not being in total control. And instead, they are committed to being faithful and faith-filled. A mother who fears the Lord is faithful and faith-filled for the sake of their children. They know the kids are going to make mistakes because they made mistakes. They know there's going to be lots and lots of threats, but God is there every step of the way. Five things just to reflect on. For a mother who fears the Lord knows that these are not her kids, I'll say that, in the sense of this. A mother who fears the Lord realizes that she is just a steward. She doesn't own them. They are her kids in the sense that God has used her to birth them, but they're actually more, even more than her kids, they're whose kids? They're God's kids. And that changes the way she thinks about the future. But if you're a mom who's wrestling with worry, just like all of us do, a few things to think about. One, it's helpful to listen to those worries. It's helpful to really understand the things that you're fearing. What exactly, specifically, are you afraid of? A lot of our fears are kind of this broad, ominous, like, I actually feel anxious, but I don't know why I'm anxious, and I'm just going to live in this kind of mystical realm of anxiousness. Be specific, concrete. What are you afraid of exactly? Be clear. Second, as you think through what you're afraid of for your children, uncover what is the hidden view of God that I am assuming. As I fear these things for my kids, what am I assuming about God, his abilities, and his character? What am I saying about who God is as I am living in this world of worry? Third, pray your fears. Pray about your fears. Come to that great God and King about those specific concerns. And I would say, if you've been living in fear in a way that's unhelpful and sinful, confess your sin. Continually cry out to the Lord. Be repentant for not trusting in him and trusting maybe in yourself rather than the King himself. Fourth, meditate then. As you pray, shift from turning up, no longer think just about your fears, but think about God's truth. Think about what God has called you to. Think about biblical realities of what he has said about the things you're afraid of. Think about his words not your words of worry. And lastly, know this and remember, God gives you and your children your daily bread. He gives you just enough every day to keep moving. And he will be there every day for both of you. So mothers who fear the Lord, give him your worries. Trust Jesus and not yourself. Second, a mother who fears the Lord with her words. I wrestled whether or not to put this one in here, but there's four words that I have never forgotten from another movie, but from a lot longer back. Some of you will know this, some of you will not know it, but the words are this: no wire hangers ever. If you've ever seen that movie, it will make you cry. It is really, really sad to see how mothers can use their words with so much hatred and rage and anger and so much damage. It comes from the movie Mommy Dearest, but a single mom who is incredibly abusive and uses her words in a way that destroys and tears down and harms her children. Very, very difficult scene to watch. But a woman who fears the Lord uses her words in wisdom and for good. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She uses her words for God's ends and in God's ways. You know, words from anybody are difficult. Everybody knows the aphorism, whatever it's called, of, you know, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Like, that's just such a joke. That's not true at all, right? Anybody who can say anything often can hurt you if they know enough about you. But especially people who are close to you. The closer someone is and the more they really know you, the more their words have impact, because the more believable they are, because they really know you. And who knows you better than your mother? The one who has been speaking words to you before you were even born. I mean, talking to you in utero, talking to you when they were in your arms, their words carry so much weight and power. Two things I want you to think about for this. Words of instruction and words that create identity. Words of instruction and words that create identity. The woman who fears the Lord here is instructing her children in kindness, teaching them. So much of your job as a mom, especially when your kids are young, is teaching, isn't it? Do this, don't do this, wash your hands, wipe your nose. You need to use toilet paper. That's really important, right? There's all kinds of lessons that are very key for being a human being, that you are always constantly instructing and teaching. Greeting, saying thank you, confronting issues, how to ask for something, how to confront problems in other people. A woman who does this, who fears the Lord, though, does these things wisely. Her instruction, her teaching it's gracious, yeah, but it's coming from a place of wise counsel, coming from a place always grounded in Scripture. What does God want? What has God said? That's what I'm going to wisely teach my children, because their whole life is meant to glorify God. They have been made for God. They have been made by God. So all of what I want to teach them comes from a place of knowing Him. My mother, I was even at my house last month, she came here on a Sunday, and we stayed up real late one night having a long conversation, kind of serious stuff, but at the very end, at one point, we were talking about her life story and what's happened to her, and she said, but everything that happened that has been good was always the Lord every step of the way. God did everything every time, Jason. And I remember thinking, like, man, I'm in my 30s, and I needed to hear that from you. Like, that is really, really helpful, because it is a reminder to me for when I go through difficulties with my family, the Lord is still at work, and the good is always from Him, and He is there always through the bad. What they say is saturated from Scripture. How they say it is wise. timed well. The right place, spoken in the right way, at the right time. A woman who fears the Lord is growing and aiming for those things. She knows when to speak and she knows when not to speak. A lot of moms are really, really good at knowing when not to say something, as much as everything in their soul would love to say a lot. They have the control not to speak at all. And when you have a mother like this who fears the Lord in these ways, you listen. You just listen. Because you know it's wise. So those are words of instruction. But also words of shaping identity. I brought this up in the past. Famous philosopher Charles Taylor says, so much of how we get our identity comes from the feedback we receive every day of what other people say to us. About how they treat us. How they speak to us. What they affirm about us. What they say needs to change about us. All those things are crafting and shaping how we view ourselves. A foolish mother, though, lets weakness and sin and folly dictate how she speaks to her children. Just a few examples. Think about that Mommy Dearest movie, if you've ever seen it. Think about how the words that Joan Crawford was speaking were shaping the identity of her daughters. What was she saying about them? How were they going to think of themselves for the rest of their life? I am worthless. I am an idiot. I am a failure. I'm somebody who should be yelled at and abused physically and verbally all the time. That's who I am. And they carry that on for the rest of their life. Think of a mother who's sort of phantom mom. She doesn't say much because she's just really not around much. She doesn't speak very much because she's just not very present. Right? Sometimes those are life circumstances that are very difficult. She has to provide because dad's gone. And she needs to work a job, so she's just not there that much. But sometimes it's because mom's been really hurt and she's been abandoned and she's not willing to speak words of gentleness and love and really connect because she's so worried about you one day leaving just like dad left. Those are the sort of identity that says you're not worth it. You think of somebody in your older years, you call mom. You say, hey, mom, we really, really were hoping to come and visit you on our vacation, but we're just not going to be able to do it this year. We really wanted to, but we're not going to be able to. And what do you hear? Long silence. And then a few words of anger, and the phone hangs up. You've been living with that mom your whole life. How has that been shaping how you think about who you are? You pathetic, selfish child. You think about the mom whose words are always, do more, perform better, get out there, try harder. That's tough. That's really hard. Because obviously who I am is not really enough for my mom's love. At least it can be interpreted that way. A mother who fears the Lord uses every word for good because they are stewards. They're not owners. Stewards of people, not owners. Children are not projects for them to look good to others, and children are not idols that they bow down and worship. Children are a ministry of love and responsibility of immense weight that God has given them for His glory and for their children's good because they're God's kids. Their words are full of grace, patient, forgiving. There will be times of rebuke. There will be times of discipline, of course. But they are full of mercy and kindness and grace and love and all of those things, showing God's heart to their kids. And they are constantly pointing their kids to Christ. You need Jesus just like I need Jesus. You are broken and a sinner and can be forgiven by Christ just like I am broken and a sinner and find forgiveness in Christ. Pointing them to the Lord over and over and over again. Caitlin and I were reading a book. It's called Give Them Grace. Great book by Elise Fitzpatrick. She's a kind of biblical counselor in this area. And one of the great kind of premises of the book is, hey, you can't grow if all you do is get rules. If you just get law, law, law all the time, you will know what you need to do, and you will know clearly how you should be doing it, but you're going to see yourself fail over and over and over again because you are broken. You are a sinner still, even as a Christian. What you need, in addition to the instruction, is you need the gospel. It is the gospel that helps you grow. It is the gospel and believing the gospel over and over again that drives you and motivates you to change because you have been rescued and redeemed from your sin. And she says, and if that's the case for you, mom and dad, why do you think it is so different for your kids? Are they not sinners just like you? Are they not human beings just like you? Why do you think it's only rules, rules, rules that's going to get them to change? It's the gospel and instruction to see the sort of change you want to see in your kids. A mother who fears the Lord does so with her worries, with her words, and right now, if you're a mom, you're probably feeling kind of guilty because you know you're not perfect. Man, none of us are perfect. All of us have made many, many mistakes. And you might be thinking, but how can I fail? You might have thought this many times. How can I fail the person who came out of me? How can I fail the one or two or three, whatever many children you have, that are part of my body and that I raise with all my soul? How can I ever fail them? How is that okay? How can God ever be okay with that? Consider this. God has given you a job that is too big for you. He just has. It's a job that you actually cannot fulfill successfully on your own. For two reasons. Again, you are broken and a sinner still, and they are broken and sinners. How can you change a sinner's heart? Well, you can't. That's part of the problem. You are actually not able, as a mother, to change a child's heart. Only God, the Spirit, can do that. And you need lots and lots of help for a job that's impossible, don't you? The Spirit alone makes children mature. The Spirit alone saves children and brings them to faith. Not you, though you've been given the task to care and teach and love. As a mother, you need to remember you also need grace, just like your kids need grace. And like I said earlier, Jesus knows that. Jesus had a sinful mom. I mean, do you ever think about that? He had a mom who was broken, who loved him deeply, who cared for him, but she was still a sinner. And who does he die for? Sinners just like his mom. He dies to save women just like you who have tried and worked hard and have made mistakes and feel guilty. And he says, I, as the great son, have come to bleed and pay the price to rescue you and to make you new, to have hope and life and forgiveness. He grants you the grace to change, and it's by more and more diving deep into that gospel truth that you will begin to be able to be the mother you want to be and the mother you wish you had. I was reading another book, reading a mom book. It's not a typical activity for me, but I was just prepping for this sermon. It was a book called Risen Motherhood. And it's actually, I was telling Caitlin, it's a pretty good book. I really like the structure of it, and if you're ever looking for a mom book, it's worth reading. It's pretty good. One of the things she said, though, that these two women said that I thought was really interesting is they said, we forget as mothers that the sort of mother-child relationship we're looking for cannot actually happen this side of the second coming. The bond, the connection, the intimacy, the love, the lack of evil or wickedness or sin or lies or distance, all of the things that we hate as mothers, that you hate as mothers, those will be gone one day, but not this side of the second coming. The relationship you long for, that you know you should have with your child, will happen if you're both Christians in the new heavens and new earth. But that cannot happen here. But it is through the gospel that it will one day take place, because Christ, the great Son, has died for mothers just like you, because he was sent by the Father to forgive your sins. So friends, God is saying this, I have given you a ministry that is impossible. That's why I have given you my Spirit to do it. That's why I am giving you hope that I am the great Father to assist mothers who still need me just as much as their kids. Stop being a mother for yourself. Stop being a mother primarily for your kids. Be a mother for me and my glory first, and that will enable you to do what I have called you to do. And so, mothers, fear the Lord with your worries and your words. Let's pray. Lord, such a sensitive topic today. Very, very difficult for many of us to think about our own mothers, for those who are a mom, to think about what they've been given the task at hand. We ask, Lord, that this would be a church full of mothers who fear you, who love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, who love that saving message of grace in the gospel, that there is full forgiveness, love, righteousness, being seen as holy and perfect in your eyes through Christ. May that begin to shape the way that they think about themselves, their children, and may that deeply inform their view of you as a Heavenly Father, even